please turn again in your Bible to Daniel chapter 6, if you would. Daniel chapter 6. Our title for our message this evening is Daniel, Still a Man of God. And I pray that the Lord will use the words that I have to say this evening to be an encouragement to you here, the Lord's people, and to those who might also be listening online as well, that the Lord would build up our hearts in Himself. Daniel, still a man of God. Thinking about an overview of the Christian life made me think of this passage in the book of Daniel. I think here we see what most of us are experiencing in our Christian life and in our church and maybe in our work or even in our family. And that'll become, I think, apparent in just a little while. You, as the Lord's people, have learned that faith in Christ does not free us from trial, but it does give us strength and power in the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit power gives us the ability to stand in the evil day, in the tough day, in the challenging days that we can sometimes have. Because why? Because we have someone who's standing with us in the lion's den, as it were, or in the fire, as it were, if you think of the three Hebrew children. Some of you tonight, as the Lord's people, have served the Lord for many, many years. You've seen Him do very great things in your life. And Daniel tonight will show you that there's yet more ahead of you, more to trust God for, and more to believe in Him for. From the book of Daniel tonight, it's clear that Daniel lived for God in the court of one of the most important kings of his day. You children probably remember that he began very young, as a young man, right? Trained in the what? In the language and in the literature of Babylon. Remember, kids, that Daniel was taken a captive, right? He was of the royal family. His destination was probably to be one of the princes or earls or dukes, if you will, of that time. But instead, God took him in captivity to be beside the very highest king of the empire of that day, King Nebuchadnezzar. Probably here, Daniel had worked with kings and authorities in civil service for maybe 70 years. And Daniel's age might actually be over 80. We don't know, but Daniel might have been an older man. We do remember back when he was a little boy, don't we? Remember how he had not eaten the king's meat and how he had taken that stand for God, you young people, how he had taken that stand for God early on in his life. And how that had continued all these many, many years until we get to the account that we have this evening. Daniel had a public life. He was a public servant. And really, in the book of Daniel, it's here that we begin to see what he was like in private as well. What was the spiritual strength that made Daniel the way he was? Well, Romans chapter 15, verse 4 tells us what? Well, it says that whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through the endurance and through the comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And so it's my hope tonight that as we study the book of Daniel, we can be confident that the Lord, in His desire, is to instruct us, to encourage us with this powerful testimony of Daniel. The Lord wants us to grow in our Christian walk as well. He wants us to be more like Him. And so He presents us this account, this living account, this true picture that's much like our life, so that we can grow from the things that we're going to see. So I'd like to take up the text in four simple ways, because it's good to do it different than three ways and not five ways. So I shall start a new pattern of being a four-point outline person, and we'll see how the Lord helps us as we move along. And I put it in the form of the Lord tonight because I really want you to see Him in this text and see Him in this account, overseeing and leading and helping and working. First of all, we'll see that the Lord teaches and loves us in the change and trouble that can sometimes be in our life. Right? The Lord teaches us and loves us in the change and trouble that's in our life. The second thing is that the Lord teaches us about our work as we do our stewardship for Him and the different callings that He has for us. The Lord teaches us about our devotional life and worship. And then lastly, the Lord teaches us about His presence and about deliverance. So change and trouble, work, devotions, and deliverance. And I think for each of us this evening as the Lord's people, those are areas where we're in each and every day, each and every week, each and every year, until the Lord takes us to go be with Him or He comes in the clouds. So I pray this will be helpful to you. The first thing I want to say to you is the Lord teaches us about change and trouble in our lives and in the church. You see, this evening, dear church, it's God who brings the change into our lives. He's the one who's orchestrating the change, who's over the change. And I don't know if you're like me, but I don't really like change. I don't like my routine messed up. I like my routine to be the same. And we see this aspect of change in this passage. And the way that we see it for Daniel is what we might call vocational change. You see, Daniel moved from the reign of Belshazzar to the reign of Darius. And Daniel had to work under a new leader. Daniel had to be part of a new cabinet, as it were. Daniel had to move from one cultural entity to a new cultural entity. From the Babylonians, he had to move to the Medo-Persians. There were going to be different requirements, different ways of doing things. There was going to be change. And in a sense, you might say he was moving from the lion to the ram, if you look at Daniel chapter 7, verse 4. From the kingdom of gold to the kingdom of silver. And this change was not going to be easy for Daniel at his age. He was going to have new committee assignments, new responsibilities. He was going to have to do it in a different way, the overseeing and make sure that the king, King Darius, had no loss in ways that this king wanted. And that must have been very difficult for Daniel. But we can see from the text that he takes it up well and begins to do the tasks that he needs to. In fact, he does it in such a way that the king says to himself, you know, this Daniel guy, I think I'm going to promote him. And he's risen, he rises up in authority. But the second thing that the text also shows us is not only does it teach us about change in our life, but it also teaches us about trouble in our life as well. Because as Daniel did what he was supposed to do, as he followed after God in the assignment that was before him, it only got worse for him, not better. And I think sometimes that can happen in our lives as we follow God and we do His will, and instead of it seeming to get better, it actually seems to get worse. And so we can see a lesson here that God does not free us from trouble just because we're faithful. So we see the extent of the plots of these wicked men. And so they decide that they're going to come up with this scheme, this plot to take Daniel and to throw him in the lion's den because of his faith and because of his prayers and because of his commitment to God. They really can't find anything else to get. They say to themselves, well, he's conscientious. He does his work the way he should. We're not going to be able to find anything about his work. So, what can we do? We'll find something about his God, and then we'll use that to take Daniel out of his place. Acts 14, verse 22 says that, through many tribulations, we will enter the kingdom of God. And so these men are going to go to no extent to take Daniel down. They realize, as I said earlier, that Daniel's work ethic is excellent. And so they've got to find something for Daniel in his religion. And so they come up with this plot or this scheme against him. Now we learn in the text that the king clearly doesn't believe or want Daniel to be thrown into the lion's den. The king does everything he can to work out the whole situation for Daniel. But in the end, his hands are tied, and Daniel is actually thrown into the den of lions. So we see that faithful service can sometimes get us into trouble. So that's our first point this evening, just to think about. the whole idea of change and the whole idea of trouble in our lives. The second thing I want you to look at in this text is that the Lord teaches us about the blessing of competence in our work. The Lord teaches us about the blessing of competence in our work as an important part of a godly life. I think we often have to be reminded that the Lord would have us be excellent in our public work and in our private devotions. The Lord teaches us here about a godly life. In fact, we're going to see Daniel's devotional life in just a little bit, demonstrated just a little bit further in the passage. But Daniel was competent in his work. In fact, it says that he was one of the first of the presidents that King Darius had. The other princes were having to answer to Daniel. And maybe Daniel was a financial planner, or was it kind of an accountant kind of guy, having to take the books and make sure things were in order for the king. Verse 4 says that Daniel's accusers found him to be distinguished and that an excellent spirit was upon him. Now we're going to learn a little bit later in the text, you all, that that excellent spirit, that power and that ability was not just the fact that Daniel was smart or intelligent primarily, but it was because Daniel had a relationship with God. And he put the Lord first, and he met with God, and he worshiped God. And then he went out to do his work as a servant of God, and the Lord blessed Daniel as he did what he needed to. So those things were working together. And so I would say to you all, as we see this in the life of Daniel, seek to be the best in the work that God has given you. And I think we all need to be reminded of that this evening. And I know that so many of us, I'm not saying it like I'm fussing, so many of us are doing our work to the glory of God. And I would just encourage each and every person that's in this room, from the youngest to the oldest, do your work in a competent way to the glory of God, just like Daniel did. Listen, no work is too small if it's done for the glory of God. Remember, Pastor Hughes was reminding us of that just a couple of weeks ago. Paul tells the slaves in Ephesus and Colossians that whatever they're to do it how? They're to do it heartily, for the Lord and not for man. So you can fold up a towel to the glory of God. You can put the wash from the washing machine to the dryer. See, I'm on a laundry moment here. To the glory of God, right? You can take up each and every task and pray about it and say, I've got to do this, and Lord, I want to do it for you. And I would just say, as you need encouragement for that tonight, to do your work for God, each and every one of you, think about how well Jesus did his work as an encouragement to you. When you're having trouble studying, you young people, or you moms, being conscientious about your children and about their needs. And I could go on with other situations. I won't go on to that. Think about how well Jesus did his work. He did all the Father's work. Remember what he said? He said, it says of him, behold, to do your will I take delight. And say that, Lord Jesus, just like you did your work, I want to do your work with delight too. You see, we want to take all that God's giving us here in his house, and we want to bring it to tomorrow morning at 8:30 or whatever time you get up. And you start the day, and you've got to do it. And what do? You say, you start out, Lord, I want your power and I want your help so that I can do your work to the glory of the Lord. Let's just all look over at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, to be reminded, to be encouraged as we're doing our work. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, and what is acceptable, and what is perfect. What I like so much about the life of Daniel is that you see him both as a man of God, you see both sides of him as a man of God. You see the aspects of work and you see the aspects of devotional life so woven together. You see, it would not have been enough for Daniel to have been a man devoted to prayer, but a lazy man. And it also would not have been good for Daniel to be a hard worker, but to be a heathen. But together, he was a whole man for the glory of God. And one of the things that has encouraged me as a Christian man has been to see how Daniel's life was a testament to the words that whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. So let me just encourage you one more time. You that are students especially, you young people, be diligent in all your work to the glory of God. Give no occasion for anyone to speak of you as a lazy or as a slothful student. Paul says to study to show yourself approved to God, a workman who doesn't need to be ashamed, because the spiritual gifts and the other talents that you have are from God. And for Daniel, he used those over like 60 or 70 years of faithful service. Well, what a position, what a place that God had given him for the glory of his name. The third thing I want to show you this evening is that the Lord teaches us about a devotional life. So go back over, if you will, to Daniel chapter 6. If you will, go back over to Daniel chapter 6. We see some things about about a devotional life, about our walk with God, about our quiet times, or whatever you might call those times. There are many places in the Scripture where the Lord tells us to meet with Him, right? But this is one of the places in the Bible where we get some real specifics. And as I was thinking about this, some of you are new believers in Jesus Christ. You're just getting started in the ways of the Lord. And so maybe a passage like this will help you to begin to lay out some ways about how you can meet with the Lord. So look at this together with me. His accusers, we remember, realized that Daniel is a man of prayer. And they decide this plan that what they're going to do is they're going to find Daniel when he's in prayer, and then they're going to catch him, and they're going to throw him into the lion's den, or get the king to throw him into the lion's den. And so Daniel has a real test ahead of him, right? His test is, does he keep up with this devotional life that he's been following for all this time? And so I want you to look at that in the passage that is over in verse 10. Look at verse 10. Okay? Imagine what's going through Daniel's mind in verse 10. For 60 or 70 years, he's been meeting with God. Probably the same kind of way that we'll talk about here in just a minute. And a decree has gone out that he doesn't need to do that, that he shouldn't do this, rather, anymore. And so Daniel, it says, verse 10, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house, where he had windows in his upper chamber, open toward Jerusalem. And he got down on his knees 3 times a day, and he prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he had done previously, or it could be translated, since early days. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, etc. Okay? So what did Daniel do? Well, it was a test for him. And so he passes the test, even at this stage in his walk with God. He showed what? He showed faith to God. He kept up the practice. And so Daniel, he goes home, and his love for God and his devotion for God, stirred by God, he opens up his windows. Maybe he's on the second floor or the third floor of his place. He opens up his windows towards Jerusalem, which I believe was part of him following the prayer of Solomon that's found in 1 Kings 8, and it's also found in, I believe, 1 or 2 Chronicles. Jerusalem was where? Jerusalem was the place where the special presence of the Lord was. It was where the temple was. It was the temple and all that the temple pictured of the Messiah, and all the promises about the temple. And so what does Daniel need to do? Well, Daniel just follows after what he's read in the Word. And so he opens up those windows and he's facing Jerusalem. He's just in exile. who's under this edict that's probably going to throw him into the lion's den. And then furthermore, not only does he open up these windows, but then he gets down on his knees as an old man and begins to pray to the Lord. He's a great leader, right? But he knows that the posture that he has is that he, at this still stage of his life, is a man who's dependent upon God. He knows he needs God. He knows he needs the power of God. Honestly, I think Daniel realizes that the 70 years of captivity is over and that God is going to take the people back into the land, and he's believing the promises in Jeremiah. But that might be for another time. And so he's praying to the Lord. Think about it. He's just some little small captive way out in Babylon. And yet he knows that the real worship of God is what's happening with him and God in that quiet place. He follows after Psalm 55, verses 16 through 19. Evening and morning and noon. But I call to God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and noon, I utter my complaint and moan. He hears my voice. He redeems my soul in safety from the battle that is waged, for many are arrayed against me. But God will hear and humble them. He is enthroned of old. Daniel also gave thanks. I'll tell you one thing. I would like to say that I would not probably be doing very good on giving thanks with my window open and on my knees. You mean thanks? Lord, my people, they're in captivity. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem and took everybody into captive. But Lord, you've been faithful to me. You've been so good to me over all these years. You're still being good to me. And so I want to give you thanks. This is a trial, Lord. This is hard, Lord. I know what's coming, Lord, but I want to give you thanks. And it's a challenge to us, isn't it, that in these times of trial that we might go in, when we have a loved one who may go into the hospital or trial at work or whatever the trial may be, we say in our heart, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And so that's exactly what Daniel did. He gave God thanks. He was before his God. I don't think Daniel did it to be a show off, but he was following his pattern. He was going to honor God. He was going to worship God. There was going to be true worship, at least in that little house there in Babylon before the Lord. And so he continues his practice. I think Daniel really started it when he said that he wouldn't eat the king's meat. I think that's where it really started. That's when that commitment began. And he's been following it all along. And now he's able to do it yet again. And brethren, tonight, isn't this your heart before the Lord? And I so believe that it is. You want to meet with God, don't you? You want to be close to him in prayer and in fellowship. You want to be beside him. Pastor Donnelly paraphrased Sinclair Ferguson when he gave this statement. He said, Daniel met with God as he always did, no more and no less. You see, Daniel wanted to meet with God. You want to meet with God. I believe you do. And you're making every effort to do that. So I would just encourage you to keep meeting with God. Keep having those times with him. Give yourself to prayer. Give yourself to the Lord, just like Daniel did, just like our Lord did when he went out in the late at night and early in the morning to meet with him. Give yourself to those times of fasting and prayer that we're going to have on Wednesday. Give yourself to prayer in your homes and seek God. All these things are for us. God is for us. And so whether we have trial or whether we have blessing or whether we have peace or whether we have difficulty, we throw ourselves upon God and we call out to God. And you young people, begin that habit like Daniel did years and years ago. That routine, that habit of meeting with him and calling out to him. Don't quit. Set realistic goals. Keep your commitments. Ask for help. And then, as the days roll on, it becomes more and more part of who you are as a Christian, as a believer. And then like Daniel, when these kinds of trials come, you're pressured, there's Satan pushing you and difficulty upon you, but you know, you've got to open up the window. In fact, you're probably, your hands just kind of go up. It's like, I got to get the windows open, right? Because it's a habit. It's something that's in your soul. You say, I got to get down on my knees. I got to call out to God. I need God. I think that's what's so beautiful about the life of Daniel. He's so dependent on God. God's at the very center of his life. And so many of you here this evening, that's how it is for you. God's at the very center of your life. You love God. You want God. You're seeking to follow after God. So I would encourage you, as Daniel does even tonight, to keep following after him. Well, our devotional life is part of our Christian walk. Our work is part of our Christian walk. Change and trial is part of our Christian walk. And the last thing that's part of our Christian walk is deliverance. I don't mean to be irreverent, but can I get an amen? Haven't you known some deliverance? You have, haven't you? You've been in the lion's den too. Not the same kind of lion's den. But you've been in the lion's den. Satan's had his hold on you. Right? Remember what the king said? You know, as he had to throw Daniel into the lion's den, you know, will your God whom you serve continually be able to deliver you? And then remember when the king rushes, listen to me, when the king rushes, right, when it's all done, right, and he says, is your God whom you serve continually, is he able to deliver you? And brethren, I think that's the question of almost our whole Christian life. At least it has been to me. I feel like God's always, that's always what's going on. Has that God whom you serve continually, is he able to deliver you? Is he going to deliver you here? Is he going to deliver you here? Is he going to deliver you here? How about here? How about here? How about here? Whatever the here is. And so the challenge comes. Has that God whom you serve continually, is he able to deliver you? Is this is the one time when God's going to let you down? When the pressure, when his way is going to be too much. But what has Daniel said? My God sent an angel, and he shut the lion's mouth. And they've not harmed me, because I was found blameless before God and also before you. O king, I have done no harm. And that's what God does. He sends his angel. What does he do? He either helps us to bear up and to keep going just a little bit longer, or he delivers us and the trial goes away. When Daniel went into that lion's den, he had a good conscience because he had done the right thing. He had followed after God. All those years of following the Lord and in a new kingdom and now thrown into a lion's den, it made me think of the words of the Apostle Paul. No one stood with me, but the Lord stood with me. Are there some of you that you feel that way tonight? You feel you're in the lion's den? God can shut the lion's mouths. He's got that power. In fact, the book of Hebrews tells us that he shut the lion's mouths. God sent his angel to come and shut the lion's mouths. And I wonder if it means that they didn't even growl. I want you to listen to what Matthew Henry says in his old Matthew Henry kind way. The angel's presence made even the lion's den his stronghold, his palace, his paradise. He had never had a better night in his life. See the power of God. See the care God takes of his faithful worshipers, especially when he calls them out to suffer for him, and see how ready the angels are to minister for the good of God's people. You see, I want us all to know tonight that the Lord really does have control of every situation, every purpose that he's recorded in his holy book of purposes. The Lord has all the events of our life and all the events of our church laid out too, and we can trust his sovereign control. Tonight he's got more deliverances yet. He's got more grace to give. He's got more might to implore. There's just more with him. He gives deliverance to us, his people, to you, sometimes in extraordinary ways and sometimes in ordinary ways. And one day there's going to be the ultimate deliverance. And that's either that we die and we go to be with him forever and ever, or he'll come in the clouds and he'll take us to be home with him forever and ever. Well, dear ones, I wanted to encourage you with these words. I wanted you to be encouraged through this life of Daniel. The Lord was over the change and the trouble. The Lord gave Daniel confidence in his work. The Lord was helping Daniel in his devotional life and his faith, and the Lord was giving deliverance. And if you're not a Christian tonight, let me just say in these simple, plain words that the Lord Jesus Christ, this Savior, this Lord, is available to you by faith. And so call upon him and say, "Oh Lord, I need you in my life. Please come into my heart and save me. Take away my sins and give me that kind of relationship that Daniel had with you." May the Lord help us as a church to grow in our understanding and devotion of him. Let's pray. Our Father, we are so thankful that we can know the grace of God in our lives, that you will help us each and every step of the way. And we can say with the Apostle Peter, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief." So this week, our Father, strengthen our courage, our nerve, our faith as we serve you and walk with you. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen.